Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
What a day!
The Sixers have finally got the number one seed for the first time in 20 years. How happy are you?
I am ecstatic. I am elated.
Now, we have a lot to get into what went into that. How the team overcame adversity, how nervous they made you throughout the year, whether they were going to accomplish that one seed. And we have to pay attention to the play-in tournament a lot. And we'll get into that during the podcast. But that's really going to determine... I think we won't have a problem with anyone. But you never know. So we'll see. But Chip, do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be... I love the idea of the play-in tournament. I know some people didn't like it.
LeBron loved it and then hated it.
Yeah. I really like the idea. You know, it gives some of the lower teams a chance. You know, someone like the Wizards, who, you know, didn't have a great record, but, you know, still have two really good players in Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Maybe they get hot at the right time and maybe they can make a run. Who knows? So I think it's a great idea, and I'm looking forward to those games. I think they'll be really entertaining, and all that piled in with whoever wins and loses, we see who the Sixers play because we don't even know yet. So I think it's going to be entertaining, and I'm excited.
It's going to be a good series either way. I think the Sixers will have it. I think the way that they played, especially with all their starters in, the way the bench has played down the line – I think that's been great. And let's move on a little bit. We're going to lightly talk Eagles just a tiny bit. They had some undrafted free agents they signed. They also signed Ryan Kerrigan. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
No, it happened actually today as we record this on Monday. It happened this morning. So not expecting that at all, but we'll see what happens.
There could be some other small signings that Howie makes, too. I don't doubt that. I just don't know where we are with the cap situation right now, how much room we have. That's a big thing. And I don't know. I'm not expecting a ton from this season. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith mesh together.
Yep.
That's probably the... only positive that, and I hope Jalen Reagor actually has a year. That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be pretty dope, right?
Pretty sick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and then the Phillies. There's been a lot going on with the Phillies lately. They just have been plagued with injuries. They've been playing inconsistently. Aaron Nola can't pitch away from Citizens Bank Park without giving up like 5 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, Gene Segura and Joe Girardi had a little altercation.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get into that in the podcast, but it seems to me that there's a lot of frustration that's boiling over. And I think it's coming to a... It's coming to a boil, you know?
Absolutely.
Joe Girardi, throughout his career, has always been kind of hot-headed.
Yeah.
He's been rather tame in Philadelphia, but now we're starting to see it.
Yeah.
So I hope it works itself out. I really think that the Phillies do have a talented roster. It's just that consistency is the problem.
Exactly. I mean, we've been saying it for how long now? And it's still a problem. So we'll see what happens. But I like that Girardi's starting to, you know, show his face a little bit.
Yeah, and well, at this point, the last thing we have to go over is breaking news from our sponsor. Breaking news, this is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. The new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code PHL at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good, it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, Chip, we both used razors before we were introduced to Manscaped.
Yes.
They bleed if you cut them. It's not fun, is it?
No.
So you want to make sure that you're taking care of your balls, and you really want to make sure that you're giving them the perfect package. And can you tell them, can you tell our fans why?
What makes this trimmer so different than any other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. And did I mention the charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last even longer. If you're still trimming your face with the ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHL at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code PHL. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. I got nothing left. What you say, Chippy?
Cue the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production,
enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in the huddle and talk a little bit of birds. Just a little bit of birds.
Go birds.
So Ryan Kerrigan comes aboard.
Interesting move.
I don't hate it. I really don't hate it either. You know, he's kind of towards the end of his career. He's 32. But he definitely brings a veteran presence into the locker room.
Absolutely.
It's always good to have... I think you said this to me earlier. It's always good to have another rotational defensive end in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, as long as the price is good, which I'm not sure I've seen anything on how much they're paying him and how long it is, but I'm assuming it's a one-year deal, and I'm assuming it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it is a one-year deal. I don't know how much it is either, but usually with one-year deals, especially this late, it shouldn't be, you know, something that they can't handle. So... very interested. I was surprised when I woke up this morning and saw that on my phone. But yeah, like I said, having that, just another veteran guy in there always helps. There's a bunch of young guys, especially on the defensive line with our recent draft. So having that guy along with Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, is only going to help. And plus, he's killed the Eagles in the past, so, you know, maybe he just likes playing at Lincoln Financial Field. Who knows? But I like the move, and it just adds depth to a defensive line that Howie Roseman seems really invested in at the moment.
Okay. I mean, like, another thing in the rumor mill, I know Eagles Nation, PHL Sports Nation's own, tweeted out that Steven Nelson has been liking a lot of Eagles things and has been linked to the team as well. Would that be a move that you would welcome?
Absolutely. Again, it's got to be for the right price. The Eagles don't have a lot of money, so, and he knows that. So if he's willing to come on for a cheap deal, then that's fine with me. We need someone other than Darius Slay on the outside. Steven Nelson has experienced that. He's been fairly good in that position. So we need someone better than Avante Maddox or whoever else we have there on the outside. So I'm fine with that move. Again, it's probably going to be a one-year deal if we do get him in here, and it's going to be a cheap deal. So, but I'm fine.
Now, let's say it's not Steven Nelson, but another corner with experience. I don't know who. I haven't really researched it. But where do you see Avante Maddox moving into?
They like him a lot. We all know that. So I think he's best at the slot or as like a, you know, maybe a third safety. Maybe you could have someone like Anthony Harris playing the box and then him over the top. But I mean, he's a great tackler, so I think he's best fit for the slot. And I think that's where he's going to be best. So.
Okay. And moving on to other moves that were made by the team, the team had a number of undrafted free agents that they signed, probably most notably Trayvon Grimes out of Florida. A lot of people were kind of surprised that he didn't go in the later rounds. But what do you think of the pick, and why do you think that he fell through the cracks?
Well, this year's draft class was a very deep wide receiver class, so guys like him were going to fall through the cracks, like you said. There was a bunch of good quality receivers that went undrafted and got scooped up right away, and he was one of them. And, you know, lucky enough, we got him. So I just think he was overlooked a little bit. I think when people turned on the Florida tape, they were mostly looking at Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney. But he was out there as well. He made some plays. And he's really the type of guy that we don't really have. He's a big-bodied receiver. He's 6'4", I think almost 220. So he's just a big body, which we don't really have right now. So I really do expect him to make the final squad if he can perform.
Now, it's not going to come as a mystery to anybody. The wide receiver room is a little bit crowded with these signings. I believe the Eagles also signed another wide receiver as an undrafted free agent. But with all said there, if someone like a Trayvon Grimes is able to perform well, does this slate the end for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in Philadelphia?
I think it does. I think he's on very thin ice right now. And if he can't perform this offseason, then he's going to get the boot, especially, like we said, if someone like Trayvon Grimes can outperform him.
Well, we also forget we have Quez Watkins. We have John Hightower.
Yeah.
A very crowded locker room.
It is. And it's just, you know, there's new coaches now. We drafted him when, you know, Doug was still here, and Mike Groh was our offensive coordinator at the time, so a lot's changed. I know Howie's still here, and obviously Jeffrey and the guys who drafted him, but a lot has changed, and maybe the coaches don't see him fitting as well anymore. So, yeah, I think if he doesn't perform, then he's going to get the boot.
And then the next thing is the Eagles signed Jamie Newman out of Georgia. Now, he opted out of last year because of COVID. But he's another guy who has a cannon, but he seems a little bit raw. Do you think that this is a solid developmental signing?
It is, and he's extremely raw. And I don't want that to go to lightly. He's very, very raw. He transferred to Georgia from Wake Forest. When he played at Wake Forest, they really only did RPOs in that offense. He didn't get to play in the Georgia offense. Like you said, he opted out. I think he should have played because it would have done him well. But he's coming in extremely, extremely raw. Didn't really play in a type of offense where it translates well to the NFL. So he's going to get coached up. We'll see what happens. Like you said, he has a cannon for an arm, which is fine. But
it's a low risk, high reward, though.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you're signing into an undrafted contract, so. If they like him enough, they'll keep him. We'll see what happens. Right now, we only have Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco on the roster and him as well. So if we don't bring anyone else in, he'll most likely make the team as the third quarterback. So, it's going to take a while, a really long time for him, probably 2 or 3 years before we even see him even potentially sniff the an NFL field.
Okay. And the only other Eagles news is a slew of team members have changed their numbers. So yes. We all need new jerseys, essentially.
Well, thank God Miles Sanders was just joking when he said he's changing number 4. He's keeping 26, thank God, because I have his jersey. So, but Darius Slay changed his to number 2. And Jalen Hurts is going to 1. So those are probably the two biggest ones. So it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird seeing Darius Slay wear number 2.
Definitely weird. He was on my jersey list, and I'm glad I didn't buy one last year. So, well, I mean, let's move on to the big topic of the day, which is the Sixers. Before we get into the playoffs, if you looked at the last game of the year, my boy, Tyrese Maxey had a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we didn't trade him.
Me too.
That was like one of those, kind of happy nothing happened there.
Kind of moments. I think that was his best game of the season. And people are going to be like, well, what about his 39-point game against Denver? Yes. But he had 30 points this game. He shot the ball way better percentage-wise. And you just saw it. I mean, in that Denver game, he took a lot of floaters. In this game, he was driving to the basket using his speed. And he was passing the ball when things weren't open for him. He was being unselfish. That was, in my opinion, that was his best game of the season. And it's great to see.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Sorry, there's a little bit of lag there. So I apologize that there's a pause, but I think that it's definitely a statement for him.
Yeah.
That means he's definitely going to, if he keeps progressing, he's going to have a role off the bench next year, I believe. I think that he would have to play the 1, if I'm being real. I just see him as that role player that does that. But moving forward into the playoffs, we're the 1, baby.
We're the 1.
We're the 1.
We're the 1. It's been a long time. Like you said, 20 years, man. It's been crazy, but this is as good a time as any.
So let's take a look at the play-in tournament. And who do we have there?
So in the 7-8 matchup, you got Boston and Washington. Washington beat Charlotte to get in that position. And then you got in the 9-10, you got Indiana and Charlotte. Charlotte lost, so they got bumped down to number 10. So Washington and Boston should be a good game. The winner of that will play Brooklyn. And the loser of that game will play the winner of the 9-10 game.
Okay.
And whoever wins that game will play the Sixers.
So we have to watch a lot of basketball coming up.
Yes.
Which I am fine with.
Yeah, I think the play-in, like I said earlier, the play-in I think is a great idea. I think it's just going to bring even more entertainment to the NBA. So it's going to be exciting.
Now, going down the line in the playoffs, if the Sixers have no problem, like we hope, in the first round.
Yeah.
Who frightens you the most in the second?
So we actually got lucky, in my opinion. The 4-5 matchup is New York and Atlanta. And whoever wins that series is who we play in the next round. Again, if we win. So I think that's the best case scenario for the Sixers. I think both of those teams are beatable for the Sixers. I think we match up well against both of those teams. So we'll see what happens, but I just want to mention real quick, the 3-6 series is Milwaukee against Miami. I think that's going to be a fantastic series right out of the gate. And then whoever wins that series goes on to play most likely Brooklyn if they can win their series. So the East is going to be really entertaining. It's usually all the West, but the East is going to be fun too.
Now, I think When I look at that matchup, the Heat and Bucks, I think that Miami towards the end of the year, you know, when we played them, they were given the balls to the wall energy, like it's game seven, and I don't think we were there.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, am I saying that they can't give us trouble? Absolutely not, because they've proven that they can.
Yes.
Do you, looking at who we most likely will play in the second round, whether it's Atlanta or New York, I think New York would give us the most trouble, not because they're more talented or a better team, but because of the style of ball they play. They play that Thibodeau basketball. They are really physical. They really wear you down. And we've seen that problem with our team where if they are worn down, they struggle. What will be the key factors in getting past them?
I think it's, I mean, you got to match their aggressiveness. You got to match their bully ball, if you will. Embiid's got to be just a force down there. And defensively, we got to match their energy and aggressiveness. And I think we will. I mean, we're one of the best teams defensively in the league. So as long as we play good defense and just come out with energy, I think we'll be fine.
Okay. Now, Atlanta, we've proven that we can really murder them, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be a problem.
Yeah, with them, it's you know, you just got to limit Trae Young. If you can do that, then you have a really good chance of winning. So.
And then, if all goes well and the Sixers make it deep.
Yeah.
Where does the fun start?
Fun starts in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, if we're lucky enough to get there, you know, it's going to be most likely either Brooklyn or Milwaukee, or if Miami can make a run. I think any of those three teams could meet us there. And that's really where we're going to be tested the most. So I have no idea what's going to happen. That's the beauty of it. And this is going to be a really, really good just year for playoffs in the NBA.
So looking at the resurgence of the East and what we're likely to face going forward, what is the biggest key factor that the Sixers need to maintain as a whole throughout? I personally think it's aggressiveness.
Yeah.
But do you see anything different than that?
No, I mean, you hit it. You hit it right on the head. Aggressiveness is going to be huge for them. Energy is going to be huge for them. And then another thing is they got to stay healthy.
They got to hold on to leads too.
And they have to. Yeah, they have to. Yeah, they can't. They can't be blowing, you know, 15, 20 point leads. You know, when you have them where you want them, you can't let them make these little runs. And you got to keep the energy up the whole time. So that's the biggest thing for the Sixers for me. They can score with anybody, in my opinion. If Ben Simmons is aggressive, then they can't be stopped, if I'm being honest. So we'll see. They just got to keep that energy the whole time and play just great defense.
Now, looking at where they stand with a rotation, where do you think it'll begin and what do you think it'll be whittled down to?
I'm not really sure. It's tough, man. Doc Rivers even said he might go an 11-man rotation in the playoffs. I don't really see that. I mean, he could do it early, but then as the playoffs go on, I think he'll dwindle it down a little bit. It's tough. I mean, we have a lot of solid role players that really deserve minutes. We know Dwight Howard's going to get minutes. We know George Hill's going to get minutes. We know Matisse is going to get minutes. And then we don't know. Shake Milton has been up and down this year, but Doc loves him, so he'll probably get in there. I think Tyrese Maxey has earned a spot, but we don't know if he is going to be able to play just with the amount of guys we do have. Furkan has been hurt the last couple days or week or so, and he's kind of struggled a little bit, but he's played great in the past, so I don't know. I really don't know what we're going to see. But expect some of those guys to obviously be in the rotation and then some of those guys to unfortunately not be.
So we're going to see it develop throughout the playoffs. We're going to see how the rotation is utilized. And, you know, going back to what you said, it really does depend on how each individual is playing and how they're matching up with the other team. I know that's common sense, but playoffs are a whole different animal. It's a different feel. It's a different vibe. It really is one of those. You're on the edge of your seat the entire ride.
Yep. It's win or go home, man.
And, you know, the teams that scare me are probably Milwaukee, the Nets, and Miami, if I'm being real. Miami solely because I don't know what it is about them, but they literally have our number.
Yeah, I mean, they match up against us well. And, yeah, they just play well against us. So, yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think those are probably the top three for me as well. But anything could happen in the playoffs, honestly.
Now, with Dwight Howard having the playoff experience, how much do you think that helps him?
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Having that experience is so big. I don't really think people understand. He knows what it takes to win, as is Danny Green. He's been there, you know, how many times now. So having those two guys is huge, and it's only going to help this team in the long run. But it's massive having that experience.
Now, like, you know, we said this earlier in the year, the Sixers brought in Danny Green and, you know, inevitably kept him.
Yeah.
Most likely for that playoff experience, because that is crucial.
No doubt. And historically, he has played well in playoff runs. So hopefully he can do that again. And yeah, I mean, this is why we brought them in. Now is the time for them to, you know, step up and show why we brought them in.
Is there anything else that you see that needs to take place for the Sixers? Is there anything that we're missing? Is there anything that is scaring you? And is there anything that has to be improved upon for the Sixers to be the team that everyone has to run through?
Yeah, well, we mentioned it already. You know, the energy has to be there. They have to give it their all throughout the entire game. Just bring energy, be fired up, be ready to go. This is the playoffs, man. This is why you're here. This is why you get paid the big bucks, and you're trying to win a championship at the end of the day. That's why you play the game. You're trying to win a title. So this is the time. This is the time to do it. I want to see aggressive Ben Simmons. I want to see Tobias Harris, you know, be the scorer that he is. I want to see Embiid be a monster in the paint. You know, I want to see guys hitting threes. I want to see defense played at the highest level. This is the time to do it. So there's just no holding back, and that's the biggest thing for me.
You go back to aggressive Ben Simmons. Do you think that Ben will be able to take up that role in the playoffs? God forbid Embiid has to miss time.
Yeah, I mean, I really do. I do believe it. You know, we've seen in the past where Embiid has gone out for whatever reason, and Simmons has stepped up. Now, this is the time to do it. Again, this is the time to do it. If God forbid Embiid were to get hurt or in foul trouble, Simmons has to realize that he has to step up and be the guy. So I think he does realize that. I think he will start to do that. And even when Embiid's in the game, just be aggressive. I mean, we've said it since he's joined the league. He can drive to the basket anytime he wants. So if you see an opening, go take it. And I think he will. I really do hope. And I think he will be that aggressive Ben Simmons that we love.
His game doesn't worry me defensively at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Matisse Thybulle doesn't worry me defensively at all.
Right.
But we need to see some scoring production from them both, honestly.
And yeah, I mean, more so Ben Simmons, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, he plays more. But, yeah, I mean, as long as Matisse can continue to develop. I mean, he doesn't have to shoot if he doesn't want to. Like, if he's open, yeah, obviously shoot. But if the lane's open, go ahead and take it. You know what I mean? I think he's as the season's going on, he start to do that more. But yeah, I mean, his biggest thing is defense. So I'm not really worried about him too much.
All right. Well, I mean, we have a lot to watch coming up. You have a lot to comment on in the future.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun playoffs. You know, I'm really excited. Hopefully the Sixers don't disappoint and they can make a deep run.
Is this the playoffs that they have to win? You know, like, and you know, you want to win every single year. And I think everyone knows what I mean. And I hope you do know what I mean. But is this the one that you have to pull it through?
It certainly feels that way just because we are the one seed and, you know, we have the coach now. We brought in the pieces. I don't know. It's weird. Like, yes and no, because Doc Rivers, yeah, I mean, he's been around the block for how many years now, but this is his first year here. But most people are going to say yes, that it is this is the year for us to make that run. So we'll see, but it's going to be really interesting.
Now, with the CDC lifting restrictions and the state agreeing,
yeah,
we're going to have quite a bit of people in the Wells Fargo Center.
I said this last week, the more people in that building, the better for the Sixers. So,
and Daryl Morey has been waving around the idea of having Sam Hinkie ring the bell.
Oh my God, that dude, the place would explode if that actually happened. It really would.
Everyone would be chanting, "Trust the process."
Oh my gosh, I wish I could be there.
And you know what? Hinkie will come out and ring it, and then Embiid will finish the job because. Oh my God. I would be in my basement screaming.
Yes. Oh my. Wherever I am, I would be jumping up and down, screaming my head off. Oh my God. The place would go absolutely berserk.
Bananas. You know, and the thing for me is this is the time of year where I put down my video games for once.
Yeah.
And I watch every single game.
Yep.
Same thing with NFL playoffs. Same thing with MLB playoffs, honestly.
Yep. Even NHL.
Yeah. Yeah, this year maybe not. I'm still mad about the Flyers, well, but yeah, you know, I was watching it just before we started recording. So, but I feel a different energy going into this one.
Yep.
And I think that if this team plays to the potential that they've shown that they have, my God, Oh, man. I mean, I will be calling out of work if they win the championship. I made that mistake after the Super Bowl. I had a really good day at work, though. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nobody felt like doing anything.
Yeah.
And I sat with my feet up.
People were just probably getting hammered or... Yeah, I mean...
Yep. That was my first employer, and you know what? Can't say I cared.
Nah, that was, yeah.
Oh, man. That was one hell of a year.
Yes, it was.
I wish we could have it back.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Look at us now.
Well, if the Sixers win, you know.
Yeah,
I don't even care anymore.
Well, if they win, hopefully they don't implode 2 years later like the Eagles did, so.
Fully anticipate that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good point. We should just anticipate that if that does happen.
Just anticipate it.
Yeah.
And if it does happen.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, then we know. We already knew.
But if it doesn't, then you can be happy still. That's got to be your mindset when you're a Philadelphia fan. Like, even with the Phillies and the Flyers, like, yeah, just expect them to stink. And then if they play well, yay.
That's what happened last year with the Flyers.
Yeah. No one expected them to be the one seed in the East, even though, you know, they got destroyed in game 7. But, you know, let's not talk about that.
I mean, listen, I didn't expect the Flyers to fall off the cliff this year.
Nah, nobody did.
But I am happy that the Sixers were able to rebound from last year.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
All it took was competent leadership.
Yeah. It just... I mean, and then they just... They made a few moves and bam, the team was completely different. And now you're seeing the result.
And Daryl Morey, one hell of a draft, bud.
Absolutely.
One hell of a draft.
To get Tyrese Maxey at, what was it, 21? And then to draft somebody like Isaiah Joe and then Paul Reed. I mean, Paul Reed was the G League MVP. Who would have thought of that? Unbelievable draft. I think all three of those guys can be long-term role players at best for the Sixers. So,
at best, I mean,
I mean, Maxey can be an easy starter. But like someone like Isaiah Joe can be a great role player in the future. Paul Reed can be a great role player in the future. So that's what you got to do, man. I mean, we have a good team already, but you just got to continue to draft well and you'll be good for the long haul.
And, you know, it goes back to thinking if we had that competent leadership in there earlier on in the process.
Yeah.
And not someone like a Collar Colangelo.
Right.
We could have, like, my God. After 1 year of competent leadership, look at where we're at.
I know. That's crazy.
And that's why I say it. And, like, think about it this way. If we had drafted Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz, where would we be?
Right.
I think Fultz would have been there at 3, honestly. Hell, even if we drafted Lonzo Ball at 3, team looks completely different.
Yep.
My God.
But we got Maxey because of the Markelle Fultz trade, so.
That's true. Things worked themselves out.
Yeah.
That trade we did get him for that. But the only trade that still irks me is the Mikal Bridges trade. That it doesn't make any sense looking back on it now.
No. Well, plus you're a Villanova guy, so.
Yeah, but where's Zaire Smith?
Right, exactly. I mean, that was the year where we had to fire Colangelo and Brett Brown was forced to make all the moves. So, you know, let's just forget about that one.
He got finessed.
It was a mulligan. Let's just say that, okay?
Okay. Trust the process, baby.
Trust the process, yeah.
All right, now let's move on to the Phillies and walk it off. Okay, what happened with Segura and Girardi? And I hate to jump right into it, but Segura's been struggling on the field. Is that what it's over?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen. Segura's been fine at the plate. He has. But defensively, he's been brutal. I mean, he's missing plays almost every game. So Girardi was sick of it, and understandably so. I mean, it's costing them runs, and it's costing them games. You know, some people are going to say, oh, you know, why do you do it? Why do you do it out in the open? You should have brought him in and said something. I don't care about that. I'm glad Girardi's actually doing something about it. Like, I don't care if it's on TV or in the clubhouse. I don't care where it is. Girardi saw the problem and said, listen, you got to fix this or you're out. And Segura probably was in the heat of the moment and got angry. And that's what people saw. So I have no problem with Joe Girardi going to Gene, and I have no problem with Gene going, but like, I have a little bit of a problem with Gene going back at him.
It's a bad look.
It is. But again, it was the heat of the moment. You know, he was hot. They were both hot. Joe Girardi did the right thing because you can't continue to make stupid plays after stupid plays and cost the team game and wins and losses. I mean, you just can't. And Segura's a veteran guy. He's been around a long time. He knows he can't continue to do this. And I think he does realize that now. So
I saw, he was just trying to be a little too fancy. He didn't see the ball through.
Yeah, he's just got to play the game. And that's it. I mean, I think people are making it a little bit bigger than it is. We've seen this from in the past with the Yankees. I mean, we haven't seen it yet with the Phillies. Like, he's been kind of tame when he's been here. But this is, like, the first time we've seen the old Joe Girardi come out, which I'm fine with.
Joe Girardi was the same way with Florida. He was very feisty.
Exactly. And he's not going to take crap from anybody. If you continue to make stupid mental mistakes, he's going to let you know. And if you continue to do it, you're out.
Now,
that's how it should be.
You know, he could have also just been very frustrated with the fact that he lost Bryce Harper, then JT, right. Yep. And then all this is happening on top of it all.
And then your pitcher's giving up 7 runs an inning. I mean, yeah, he's frustrated, as he should be. That's what I meant real quick. Yesterday's game, we ran out of lineup with Brad Miller in left field, Odubel Herrera in center field, and Scott Kingery in right field. That may be the worst outfield I've ever seen. That's atrocious. But that's just proof how decimated we are at with injuries. And Scott Kingery cannot hit a baseball for his life. I mean, he looks lost at the plate. Absolutely lost. He couldn't hit the ball if he got paid $1 million on just for that, just for one hit. He couldn't hit.
Now, you know,
he's bad.
So going back to comparing, and you know, commentators bring this up all the time too. When you think about Girardi and the Yankees, one of the things that came up was the Jabba rules. And I was listening to Philly's broadcast the other day where they brought that up. They're not properly utilizing their farm system to get players ready.
No.
And they're over manipulating these players.
Yeah. I mean,
and what you see from that, and going back to the Jabba rules, is you had a good relief pitcher, a really good relief pitcher. You try to convert into a starter, and look at what happened.
Yeah.
You try to convert Scott Kingery, a natural second baseman, into a center fielder, and then you send him up, you send him down, you send him up, you send him down. And, you know, I was listening to John Kincaid today, and he said, I like what they did with Alec Boehm. They left him up to just go through the struggles.
Right.
You can see the lefties. You can see the righties. You can struggle. And that's how the young players should grow.
Mm-hmm.
But did they really give Kingery that opportunity?
No, not at all.
To fight through the struggles. They didn't.
No. And the difference was, too, with Alec Boehm, he came up and started right away. Kingery rode the bench for a while. He never really had a starting spot in the lineup like Alec Boehm did right away. So that's another difference, too. But, you know, but this has been happening for years and years and years. The Phillies organization as a whole cannot develop talent. They just can't. They haven't been able to for years, and they still can't. Like, well, yeah, they can draft some guys here and there, but they can't develop them. Like, these guys have to be good right away in order for the Phillies to have any success. I mean, yeah, we got lucky with Rhys Hoskins, but look at him. He's been struggling. So we've never been able to develop talent at all. And, you know, but, yeah, the whole thing with Scott Kingery just being moved around. Exactly. I mean, and you're seeing it now with Nick Maton, who's been unbelievable.
Murdering it.
Brought him up, kept him a short and second where he's played both. He has played both, kept him a short and second, and look at him now. So, and they only brought him up when he had a for sure spot in the lineup. That's it. They didn't bring him up to just ride the bench. They brought him up to play.
Now, another one. Here's another one. Spencer Howard.
Yep.
They kept him in AAA to stretch his arm.
Yeah.
But he's only throwing 50 pitches a game in AAA.
Yeah.
For what?
Bring the kid up, for the love of God. Your pitching stinks anyway.
If you want to stretch his arm out, 50 out pitches.
Vince Velasquez and Chase Anderson, no.
Listen, I might take a schoolboy or a schoolgirl over Chase Anderson at this point.
Listen, if you're going to limit the guy, at least get him some major league experience. If he struggles, he struggles.
I mean, hell, where's that girl that was throwing the fire knuckleball? I'd take her over Chase Anderson.
Oh, I would take anyone over Chase Anderson. He's a dumpster fire, as is Matt Moore, who's in the bullpen now and barely even plays. So just bring the kid up. For the love of God, what do you have to lose? We're already losing. Our pitching is atrocious. Who cares? That's the only argument they have is, oh, we want to limit him and then stretch him out. No, you can do that, but bring him up and do it. That's like, there's no problem with that. Like, at least let him face major league hitters.
That's how it should be.
It's exactly how it should be. I mean, he has so much potential, and they just ruin it
every single time.
Yeah,
man.
You know, Scott Kingery, I just want to apologize. Not for me, but for the Phillies organization as a whole. they ruined your career. You had so much potential. They signed you to a what? Was it like a 6-year deal? Future second baseman. And now you can't hit the broad side of a barn. So, yeah, sorry. But, you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Now, the Phillies' main problem is the fact that their starting pitching can't stay consistent. It seemed like Nola Wheeler and Eflin were looking pretty solid, you know, not horrible. And then it all hits
I mean, fan. Nola can only pitch like the Cy Young winner at Citizens Bank Park, and then he pitches like me everywhere else.
Zach Wheeler
is up and down every other start. And then Zach Eflin has actually been pretty solid, so I can't say nothing bad about him.
Yeah, his worst start, I think he gave up 4 runs, which is that's okay. You know,
he's been pretty solid actually. I'm actually like fine with Zach Eflin, but yeah, I mean if Nola's coming up and he's away, just skip him.
Now with Vince Velasquez, he's had 3 solid starts. Is he going to? If he keeps it up and he gets 10 solid starts this year,
no.
Yeah,
the
I don't
fact
think
that he still is on this team is laughable and a joke. How many chances are you going to give this guy? He stinks. Okay, yeah, he's had a couple good outings. Just you wait, okay?
I know. You wait. I said he's going to get lit up.
So no, I'm talking to the Phillies right now.
Oh.
Like, oh, he's been good. We'll keep him in the rotation. We'll keep Spencer Howard in AAA. Just you wait, Phillies. Because he will come out and give up 10 runs to 10
in
straight
one-third of an inning.
In one-third of an inning, and then you're going to pull him before he even gets an out. Okay? And it's going to happen. And I will laugh when it does.
Oh, my God.
Why is he still on this team?
Who else are they going to sign?
I mean, me. I'm better than Vince Velasquez.
Okay, no. But
I'm not. But I'm just saying. It's. I can't deal with Vince. I just can't. Vince Velasquez is the Hector Neris to you. For me.
Speaking of chances. Hector's gotten this many chances, Vince deserves them.
I mean, the bullpen's been bad.
It has been.
What do we need to do? What do we have to do to have a good bullpen? Like, what else are we supposed to do? We legitimately had the MLB's worst bullpen last year. And we still stink. We brought in how many guys to revamp the bullpen? Nah, we still stink. And this is the only thing I don't like about Girardi. He continues to go to Neris in the 9th inning. Every single outing, Hector Neris gives up a walk, like 2 or 3 walks, and then a hit. Like, there's always guys on base at the end of the game.
Right.
And then he
gets
lucky and strikes a guy out, and they win.
So, I mean, is there even a possibility that the bullpen finds any consistency?
No. As long as Hector Neris continues to go out there in the 9th, they're going to lose games. I really don't get why he just doesn't. First of all, and we need Archie Bradley back from the IL in the worst way. He's been hurt since like the second week of the season. We need him back badly. But
well, think we get Archie Bradley back. We have Brandon Kinsler.
He's been bad.
He has been really bad.
Like Coonrod's, he's been okay, I guess. Brogdon started off the year great, but then he fell off a cliff.
David Hale is David Hale.
David Hale's a dumpster fire. Alvarado can't control his fastball. I mean, he throws 175, but he can't control it. He hits guys in the head. You know, Neris is Neris. I don't know. We brought up JoJo Romero, who's, I don't know, decent at best. I don't know. I mean, the fact that he doesn't just give somebody else a chance to be the closer blows my skull. He just continues. Even if Neris gets shelled, he continues to go into him the ninth. And I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, I think that's all we got on the Phillies.
I mean, we're not going to win. We're not going to win with this team. I'm just going to let you know that.
No shot.
No shot. I mean, McCutchen, he's been good. He's been good as of late. But he's done. He's done, dude. I'm sorry.
Earlier on in the season, he looked like a deer in the headlights.
He couldn't hit anything. I mean, yeah, he's bounced back a little bit, but you can just tell he's shot. I mean, Harper, he's good, but he hasn't been healthy all year. Same thing with JT. Reese is up and down. He's a roller coaster. Segura's been fine at the plate, but defensively he's been horrendous. Literally the only bright spot has been Nick Maton.
Yep.
So let's see if we can ruin him.
Well, no, and this is my thing too. If Nick Maton is playing extremely well, are you going to tell me that you find a way to play Didi Gregorius over him?
No, they will. They're going to. As soon as Didi gets back, he's going to be in the lineup every single day. No doubt in my mind. Nick Maton will continue to hit 500.
He just belted two home runs.
Yeah, no. He'll continue to hit 500, but Joe Girardi will still continue to play Gene Segura and Didi Gregorius up the middle. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, that's the thing, too. And Joe is probably, when he was talking to Gene, he's like, we got this young kid coming up who's killing it.
Absolutely.
You can't catch a ball, so who am I going to play?
Right.
And, you know, Gene actually has been hitting well.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, he's been absolutely horrible defensively.
It's Major League Baseball, and Girardi has a point.
Yeah.
You can't expect that poor defensive play at this level.
Yep.
And I think you had a point. Okay, maybe it should have been handled that way. A lot of managers in this day and age are very passive. And that's something that would be addressed individually.
Yeah.
But throughout Joe Girardi's career with Florida and New York, did you see that ever?
You know what kind of manager Joe Girardi is. And if you continue to mess up and screw up and make mental mistakes, he's going to let you know. And he doesn't care if it's public. He doesn't care if it's outside or in the clubhouse. He will let you know then and there. And if you're going to get mad at him, you're going to get mad at him. And he'll come back at you. But that, you know, that's the type of manager he is.
Chip, in this market, we have seen a player like Jimmy Rollins, beloved in this town, benched for not running out a pop-up.
Yep.
If Gene Segura can't expect that from a manager.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, man. Yep. One of the most famous players in this city.
Yep.
One of the most integral parts of that World Series team. Integral parts of that five-year run they had was benched.
A former MVP, mind you, as well.
Benched
for not running one time, for not running out a ground ball. One time. You should know your manager, number one, and two, you should know what city you're playing for as well.
I mean, if you struggle, the city's going to call you out for it.
No,
so,
exactly.
You know, they were already calling out Girardi, but I really don't think that many people are PO'd that Girardi went after him.
Even if you hit 320 for a season, but you have an error a game, we're going to let you know about it, as the manager will, as he should. Joe Girardi did nothing wrong in this scenario. Nothing.
We'll see how it plays out. The season is still young. Quarter of the season's through.
People getting mad at Joe Girardi for during the the press conference, he just said it's for, like, he didn't want to say what he said to Gene, which is fine because they don't need to know what he said. So Joe Girardi did absolutely nothing. He did the right thing, and that's it. So Gene, you better get your head out of your ass on defense.
All right. I think that finishes our walk it off. Before we end today, there is one more piece of news. that I think will make you less heated. Well, especially me, but Jay Wright was named to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's pretty hot. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Honestly, like that in this area specifically, that's not something you really think about. But he's had that much success.
Yeah, he deserves it too. He really does. He's the he really is and has been for the last however many years he's been there, one of the best coaches in college basketball. No question.
He's been there since 2001.
Yeah. So he's been one of the best. He got two championships out of it so far because he's still there. So,
I mean, next year coming up with the players they have coming back and the new players they have coming in, they're still pretty likely to be in contention.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as he's there, they'll always be, you know, a top team in college basketball. So, that's awesome news for him. Congratulations to Jay Wright. He definitely deserves it. And he's not done yet, which is cool. So,
you know, I legitimately remember when the UNC position opened up. Everyone was like, oh, Jay Wright's going to go there. Jay Wright's going to go there. How could you turn it down? And he was just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm staying right where I'm at.
Yep. He truly loves what he does and where he's at.
You know, the dedication to Villanova, its students, the program, you know, he built that. I would say that athletics department as what it is. Like, the main motto is attitude.
Yep.
He wrote a book on it. And that's what every one of the athletes wear. A bracelet that says attitude on it. It's stitched into the jerseys.
Yep.
It is the fabric of the program. And he created something that was unique to its own. Unique to its own style. You could tell when players didn't buy in, but the players that did buy in, you look at it now, there's, what, 9 or 10 Villanova players in the NBA right now?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't really very many earlier on.
Nah, I mean, a lot of people were going to say Kyle Lowry, but other than him, there hasn't really been anybody. Now that you're seeing... You're starting to see some young guys come in and be effective players, you know, starters, role players. They may not be superstars, but they're still effective basketball players, and they're still really good.
I mean, I would just say a few players right now. Dante DiVincenzo in Milwaukee has been a consistent role player since he came into the league and has improved every single year.
And he starts for them now.
Right. Mikal Bridges.
Yep.
Over the past couple years, you've seen him develop into a nice 3-and-D threat.
And starts for them.
Jalen Brunson.
Yep.
Solid off the bench for Dallas.
Started for them, I think, his rookie year. I mean, he still plays, you know, he still plays a significant amount. But
and he puts up numbers, too. It's not like he's not doing anything.
And for his size, he's actually pretty good defensively as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just a bunch. It's a bunch of guys.
Oh, one more. Sadiq Bey. That kid murdered it this year.
Dude, I did not expect him to play the way that he did, but he's going to be a good one, I think.
You know, I'm kind of mad that Detroit got him.
Yeah.
Because I thought he might have fell to the Sixers.
Yeah.
But, man, if that kind of talent could keep coming out of Villanova, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what draws players to the program.
I mean, here's the bottom line. Jay Wright teaches young kids how to play the game of basketball, and he does it in the perfect way. He does it the right way.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to.
So, you know, he built the program, he earned this, and congratulations, Jay.
Congratulations to Jay Wright.
At this point, I think we've reached our destination for the day, though. So we'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to phlsportsnation.com, go to the podcast tab, go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can also find all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires from Philly's Nation to Eagles Nation to Sixers Nation to Flyers Nation and Union Nation. We are all there. Our colleagues are great, put out great content each and every single day. So please do give it a check. You can find our merch at the Weg Shop. You know, nice little TBW hoodie goes a long way, and it's very comfortable. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now that is also extremely comfortable. So you can keep going, and you can also find us on Twitter at the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Facebook at the Philly Bandwagon. You can find us, me, at PHL Ryan Michaels on Twitter. You can find Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. And you can also answer our polls. You can share it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you at the next stop. Go Birds.
Go Birds.